Chapter 35 Unto the Storm. Battle Barge Charybdis, Bridge. Odysseon watched the armored shutters clack down over the viewport, sealing it off from the void. Arms folded behind his back, he was standing to the fore of the bridge, in front of the great armor glass aperture that had just disappeared behind a sheath of adamantium. To the shipmaster, the vista beyond was the most glorious and humbling sight in existence, the great gulf of space. He could still remember the first time he had seen it, not the distant star-studded black canvas visible from the surface of Terra, but the light of solar flares coursing across vari-coloured nebula and pearlescent moonscapes. Back then, he had been a mere ensign during the Great Crusade, but the sight had lost none of its awe and beauty. How marred the galaxy was now, and how Odysseon's romanticized image of it had changed. Horus crept across the great gulf now, putting out the stars and murdering the suns, until the only thing that was left was grim darkness. What future was there for mankind, presaged by such uncertain times? Odysseon retreated from the sealed viewport and returned to his command throne. It was just him and his crew on the bridge. All the salamanders had dispersed throughout the ship to maintain order and security. "I am master again," he thought, but in that moment he did not want to be. Duty fortified his mortal frailty, giving him the courage to act as he must. Odysseon leaned into the throne's vox. His message broadcast throughout the decks of the Charybdis to the armsmen waiting in their barracks, to the serfs toiling in the bowels of the Engineerium, to the mortal Medicae staff within the Apothecarian, to every refugee and imperiled soul on the ship. "All hands, brace and make ready. We are about to re-enter the storm. Any man or woman, be they crew or otherwise, who has no business wandering the corridors of this ship, stay in your assigned quarters. Those who must attend their duties, I say this, hold to your courage, hold to your purpose, and we will survive." He ended the broadcast and turned in his throne towards his first officer, standing by his side. "At your post now, Arik." Odysseon could not remember the last time he had used the lieutenant's first name whilst on the bridge. Given the circumstances, it seemed wholly appropriate.
"Aye, sir."
As Gulero went to be seated, Odysseon addressed Essenzi. "Lissa, surrender control to Circe." Essenzi nodded, making the necessary adjustments.
"Navigator has the helm, shipmaster."
"This is it," Odysseon murmured. His left hand slipped between the folds of his uniform, finding the parchment he had carried with him since the end of the Great Crusade.
"Emperor, protect us."
He opened the vox to the Novatum.
"Circe, we are prepared."
"I am ready."
"Your shadow?"
"I can feel Ushaman's presence."
The librarian was closeted in his chambers, both as a precaution to the crew and an aid to his own concentration.
"May he watch over you,"
whispered Odysseon, no longer talking about Ushaman.
"As you wander in dark places," Circe concluded, "for I shall fear no darkness, and embrace the light of his own truth to guide me."
With these last words, Circe plunged into the storm with the Charybdis. The ship writhed, seized at once by the swell of the warp. Churning, surging, the sea of souls was in abject torment. The ship felt every blow. Odysseon could not see it, but he felt it as fingers of darkest emotion scraping at his sanity. He had gripped the arms of the command throne without realizing, his knuckles white as he crushed the blood out of them. A dirge soared its way through the decks. It echoed around the bridge, whispering through hatchways, creeping under blast doors, infecting the Charybdis with an atonal threnody that bore disturbing similarity to thousands of dying screams. He wondered, just for a moment, if Maelissa's tiny voice was amongst them.
"God Emperor," he wept, overwhelmed by sudden grief, "preserve her innocent soul."
As the ship pitched and yawed, a vista unfurled before his mind's eye. He was the captain of a schooner abroad in a fearsome storm on a lightless night. Standing at the wheel, sails bulging, almost tearing themselves apart, his fearful crew lashed to their posts, Odysseus looked out into the sea and saw only night-black waves and the lightning-racked tumult overhead. He felt lost, powerless.
"Circe,"
he whispered, only realizing he had actually spoken rather than thought her name, when the navigator replied,
"Black, endless black, his presence is everywhere."
That was different from the last time. "Who, Circe? Tell me."
"Malignant, raking at my mind, unearthing, Kabar."
Odysseus frowned. He was vaguely aware that his bridge crew was suffering too, but in that moment he only cared about the navigator. It was gibberish, the effects of trying to navigate the storm.
"Hold on. Stay strong for us, Circe."
Metal flexed, the ship groaned, and its geller fields stretched to breaking like the imagined sails of Odysseus' dream.
"He comes, the one-eyed king. I feel him opening my mind like a box without a key, sifting through my thoughts."
She screamed so loud it created feedback through the Voxlink.
"Circe!"
He heard her frantic breathing now, but at least the screaming had stopped. Circe was weeping, a slow, sullen sob that wrenched at Odysseus' heart like a dagger.
"I have the ship," she gasped. "Ushaman is with me."
She sounded calmer now, under strain, but with some measure of control. Whatever had briefly possessed her had passed.
"Hold on, Circe,"
Odysseus begged in a small voice. His tears tasted salty on his lips.
"I will,"
she murmured, the need to concentrate overwhelming the need for comfort.
"As long as I can."
The link went dead as Circe ended it. They were in the storm, caught in its swell. There was nothing else he could do now.
"Gulero," he said, rising from his command throne, "the bridge is yours."
He needed rest, just a brief moment away, to find his resolve. Odysseus barely heard the clipped reply before he left the bridge and headed wearily to his quarters. On the way, he met one of the salamanders, Rekor Zathen. He had five other legionaries with him, gauntlet-mounted flamers held low and at the ready. Pyroclasts, some of the few, perhaps all. Apart from Zathen, who had his helm in the crook of his arm, the others wore veils of drake hide across their faceplates. The effect was disconcerting. Zathen gave a curt nod in the shipmaster's direction as they passed each other in the corridor. He was headed to the lifter that went below decks, security sweep. Strange things could happen in the warp, strange and bloody things that left sane men gibbering wrecks and turned saints into slaughterers. Odysseus turned as he heard the booted feet of the salamanders come to a halt. They had all mounted the lifter cage. Zathen was last in and stared at the shipmaster as he rolled the concertina gate across. There was danger in his eyes, Odysseus decided, before the pyroclast donned his helm too.
He had seen Zathen's frustration and anger at being denied combat with the Death Guard firsthand. He reminded Odysseon of a hungry jackal that has had a sniff of meat but no taste of it. He knew pyroclasts were volatile, their demeanor, like their way of war, incendiary. But Zathen needed a release valve. From what little he knew of the Legion, he had often thought of the pyroclasts as the order that most closely resembled the Salamander's destructive past, and therefore destined for self-immolation. Zathen always seemed on the brink of combustion. Odysseon turned away, headed for his quarters. He was standing at the door, his mind still on Zathen, and about to vox his concerns to Sergeant Zetos, when he saw something out of the corner of his eye. A flicker of white, a light diaphanous dress, tiny shoeless feet, a girl's soft laughter. He crushed a fist into his eyes and tried to push down thoughts of the daughter he had lost, that he and Circe had lost. But it wasn't her. It was the refugee, the one he had seen earlier, somehow loose on the ship. Odysseon was about to summon armsmen to go and fetch her when he stopped. She was just one girl. He could do it. "I can do it," he said to himself, although it sounded a little like an echo. She had been headed towards the aft, lower decks, refectory hall. Odysseon went after her.